Let's honor God tonight. Let's give him all the praise, all the glory. Come on, he's worthy. Amen. Do you believe that? And Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now to come and move again. Come and touch us, heal us, speak to us. Holy Spirit, we're asking for a revival. Come on, in the Whit Sundays, for a Pentecost again in the Whit Sundays, which is named that because it is the day of Pentecost. It's called that for a reason, and we ask for another suddenly. Come on, to touch this region, to touch our churches. Come on, we believe in the God of more than enough, the God of overflow. Come on, there is more for you tonight. There's more for your church. There's more for this region. Come on, let's believe for a great and mighty harvest of souls. Do you believe that tonight? Amen, amen. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. You may take your seats. Well, it's an incredible honor for me to be here at the Whit Sundays region event, and I've just had an incredible weekend here. Thank you. It's just like, gone. That ACC music went hard though. I was like, I was waiting for the drop. It never happened. But I just been here, incredible weekend at in Mackay, ministering with great new friends, my good friends now, Pastor Craig and Pastor Tuppy, and incredible stuff is happening at the church. At New Life there, and I'm a friend of this region, that's for sure. I was here in this church a few years ago now for Pastor, it's there, it's coming. Yes, Pastor Kane invited me up and had me here for Extreme. That's the one. It was very memorable. Experience. I haven't forgot anyone from it. Pastor Claire, obviously, and the team, and Bo, you're a champion, doing great things. I'm now sounding like Tim Hall, just going through people's names. And I know you. Yeah. No, I don't. Amen. Fire of God's here. And Pastor Jason and Renee, incredible pastors up there in Bowen. And it was probably my first time was up here in 2021. They let us open. They let us out for a day, half a day. And I got on a plane and I came straight up here to the Promised Land, to the Whit Sundays and region and to Bowen and preached in your church and did the Planet Shakers College there. But we've been good mates ever since. I do get an odd pocket dial every now and then with a random voice message. But it makes it life entertaining, which is what it's all about. But who's ready for the Word of God tonight? I just feel like stirring the faith. I'm maybe a little bit silly. If I start burping or whatever, I just had to eat about, I don't know, half a kilo of pad thai in about 15 seconds because it took so long to come out. But anyway, we move on and God's good. The Thai restaurant, by the way, is amazing. I do recommend it. Just order ahead. But God's doing incredible things here. You need to believe it. And he's going to do it again. Come on, we believe in the God of miracles, that he can do it, that he will do it. And we've seen incredible miracles right here. Don't ever think, come on, that they happen overseas or exclusively in the islands or some faraway land. No, they happen right here in Mackay. Come on, we saw a guy healed of cancer, stage 4 cancer. Incredible testimony from him. God can do it. Won't he do it? He will do it again. And he will do it for you if he did it for them. Come on, we need to start to believe. Come on, for our churches, for God to move across this land. Come on. Do you believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Let your power fall in this region. Yes. Josh Harris is here. He's the Barramundi Whisperer. He's promised me a 3-meter barra. One day. You got your Bibles, John chapter 11. It says here, verse 33, it says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take the stone away. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, I want to share with you this thought tonight on how to speak to the mountain. I know that many of us here, we understand the power of prayer. We were saved by a prayer. We came out the front, we said yes to Jesus. We made a declaration and we confessed, Lord, I'm a sinner and I ask you to save me with your grace. And I believe that is the greatest miracle of all. He does save us from our sin, amen. And I wanna challenge you, if you can believe for that, then he can restore you from sickness. He can heal you, come on, your bodies. If you can believe in the greatest miracle, come on, can't he heal your body tonight? Can't he set you free from oppression? He can do it, amen. And I love this, that we love prayer. As a movement, we love prayer. But I wanna tell you that there's more to prayer than just a redemptive prayer. Come on, there's power in your prayer life. I love what Pastor Wayne was saying. That's been a message of mine for many years now. It's my life message, ask, seek, and knock, and how to redig the wells of life. Prayer is powerful. Come on, people. It's powerful. I love this. I think when you open up your mouth, come on, demons tremble. When you speak to mountains, come on, the Bible says that they move. Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered. I mean, you need to understand something about prayer. Come on, it's like a heat-seeking missile. It's a surface-to-air missile. Oh, come on, somebody. I've been in Texas for a few weeks back, and now I'm just, that's all, God bless America. I feel like a bald eagle just needs to fly in right now. It's a surface-to-air missile. When you open up your mouth, come on, your words carry power. They seek out to which they will destroy. If it's cancer, come on, it destroys it. If it's demons, come on, they flee, they run, they hide. Come on, you need to understand right now the power you have in your voice. You can change atmospheres tonight over this region, over your church, over your family by the words that you say. James 5:16 says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Come on, the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous person avails much. Oh, come on, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That God can still do it today. Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Come on, he can do it in your life tonight. He can do it in your family. He can do it in your kids. Come on, your spouse. He can heal them, set them free. Come on, he can see a revival in this region. You just got to start to speak it, amen? It's time. Come on, everybody say, it's time to speak to the mountain. Why don't you say that? Speak to the mountain. Tell your neighbor, it's time to speak to the mountain. And it starts off saying, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I don't know if you understand this, but you and I, you can cause the very spirit of God to be troubled. simply by your actions. The Bible even says that you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can stop. And it seems weird because, you know, who am I? I don't have the ability to stop a move of God or the power of God, but I can put a hold on it in my life simply by my attitude. I can decide tonight I'm not going to enter in. Pastor Jason, once he figured out the microphone, he is from Bowen, don't blame. They only got witches' hats up there that they pinched off the Bruce Highway. But still doing road work, so. And he says, come on, you know, let's lift our hands and lift our voices and we can sit there and go, nah, I don't want to. Nah, can't be bothered. You know, we can go through the motions again. Not another service. I've heard this song before. Nah. Come on, won't you lift your voices and praise him? Nah. Nah. Whit Sunday. Queensland, beautiful one day, raining the next. And we can have this attitude of just miserable and never do anything and stop what God wants to do. Lift your hands. Nah. You know, and all of a sudden we wonder why God isn't moving in my life. Oh, I just don't feel the Holy Spirit anymore like I used to back in 30 years ago. Well, get your hands out your pockets. That's a start. Open up your mouth and begin to declare praises. Sing the song when they say, sing the song. I don't sound real great. It doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise. Come on. When was the last time you started to offer up a sacrifice of praise? No matter what it costs you. Come on, let's not, come on, trouble the Spirit of God. Let's not quench the Holy Spirit over our churches, over our region. And I find this so interesting that Jesus knew of Lazarus' condition, but yet he still decides to wait. He'd heard about it. He knew, he even told the disciples about it, that he's fallen asleep, which meant he told them that he was actually confirmed he was dead, but they still wait. He doesn't wait just one day, not just two, not just three. The Bible's very clear. He waits 4 days before he turns up. Now, in Jewish customs and laws, once you hit 3 days, you're dead. It's confirmed you are dead. 4 days, you're dead. There's no coming back from that, right? It even says that he started to stink. So he was decaying. You're past rigor mortis. This is over. You are gone, right? This is over with. But yet he waits. And I don't know what you've been waiting for tonight. I don't know what miracle you've been waiting for, what revival you've been believing in, what harvest you've been praying for. But I know that some of us have been waiting for a long time. Maybe it's not 4 days, maybe it's 4 years. Maybe it's 30 years, God forbid 40 years, we've been waiting. But I'm here, come on, to tell you tonight that just because there's been a delay doesn't mean there's been a denial, that God is still, come on, the God of miracles. He's still the one who comes through at the 11th hour. Come on, oh, come on, I got a story about that. I'm not ready for it yet, but I was detained for almost 11 hours. That's for another day. But God came through. Oh, starting to sound like a preacher from Louisiana, but God, and the prison walls began to shake. And I was let go. Doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. Come on, I know a God of the turnaround. I believe him, come on, for that instant healing. The miraculous power, I still believe in it. I still believe in the God of the suddenlies. Come on, it's time to get ready for your suddenly, amen? Your suddenly. Luke 18 verse 8 says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find somebody on earth who has everything worked out? No, it doesn't say that. Who has a mansion? Just down near the harbor there. 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. Couple of fishing boats, flat ones that you can go up the river and then a nice one to go out in the reef. No, everyone's stunned looking at me. Four figures in your bank account. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe I'm just trying to manifest what I want in my life. No, it says, when he returns, will he find anybody on earth who has faith? Now, you need to understand the principle of this story because it's about the persistent widow. Now, the persistent widow, this isn't a story about simply redemptive faith, that she just believed in Christ. No, it's not that faith that he's looking for. He's not looking for the faith, that kind of faith that just turns up on Sunday and sings all the songs. No, he's talking about the persistent widow who wouldn't give up in the night, who kept on believing no matter what the judge's report was. She kept on saying, no, I believe. I will hold on. Come on, I don't know what you're going through right now, but come on, do you have that faith that Jesus is looking for? A person, a pastor, a leader. Come on, whoever you are, just saying, come on, I will not let go until you bless me. Like Jacob, I will not let go, God, until I see your favor, until I see your kingdom come. Come on, it's time to never let go. Are you ready? Verse 34, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now when the Jews said, see how he loved him. And I often think about this, was Lazarus the only person to pass away that day? And the answer to that is no, there would have been others. And then I think, how many more would have passed away? Would it have been, tens, hundreds? I'm not sure. Or let's just say over the course of the week or the time where Jesus finds out, he hears about it, he knows about it, what's going on, and then he passes away, and then the 4 days, and the time he gets there. I wonder how many people actually died. Let's just think about the whole city, Jerusalem. Let's think about the whole nation, Israel. Let's think about the whole globe. Maybe it's hundreds of thousands of people. I don't have the statistics on that. I'm not sure how many passed away, but I know this one thing. Jesus doesn't go to all their tombs. Jesus doesn't visit all their graves. He only visits one. That's Lazarus. Have you ever thought about that? Why doesn't he just do a round of the graveyard? Why doesn't he just go to every single graveyard? Well, I think there's an answer here, and it's pretty simple. But the Bible says this, that Jesus and Lazarus were friends. Oh, this might be simple, but I'm telling you, it's profound. It matters how close you are to Jesus tonight. It matters how close you are. What is the proximity to him? I believe that the proximity to Jesus determines the outcome of the miracle. It determines the level of the outcome of the blessing, of the favor, of the healing. Come on, how far are you from him today? How far are you? What does your life look like? James 4:8 says, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. You see something here, it's not the other way around. It's not like, oh God, when will you just show up? I've just been waiting here watching Netflix over and over. When am I gonna get used? It's been playing Call of Duty, Resurgence. When are you gonna use me? No, the Bible's clear. It says you draw near to him. You and I are the living, breathing, measuring sticks between heaven and earth. How far is it today? Oh, come on, how close are you to him? What's your proximity like to him tonight? Come on, don't let it be like Bette Midler from a distance singing over you. Is he near today? Come on, how close is he to you today? Now, I mentioned it before, but a big part of my message is redig the wells. And I was called out to evangelism in 2018 and then moved my family around 2018, 2019 to Melbourne or in country Victoria. And I was not to know this, but it was not an easy lifestyle. I think planning churches or pioneering churches, being a senior pastor, is one of the hardest jobs. Someone told me they thought, what's an even harder job than that? Living by faith as an evangelist. It's not easy to do. And here I was, I decided to pick up my family, move them all to Melbourne. And just in a few years of doing that, we go into the worst lockdown in history. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. 275 days or something ridiculous like that. I've got it tattooed back here, but... but who's counting? me. Still got a bit of PTSD about it when we mention it. It's hard to even talk about it and think about it like it really happened, because it did. And in that time, just everything that I had planned, organized, one by one was canceled, 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 canceled. And so I go living by faith to living by nothing, and then all of a sudden, I'm in this place of, what have I done? Who am I? What's even my purpose? Maybe there's a midlife crisis, but it was all these things. And I remember someone saying to me, what you got to do is you got to exercise, because it's one thing that you could do, because exercise produces endorphins, and endorphins make you happy. What a lie that is. Like an idiot, I built a gym in my garage. And here I am doing squats in the garage, and in between each squat, I'm crying. I'm picking up the weights and I'm crying, going, God, you've forsaken me. Oh, you've forgotten about me, Lord. I'm a global evangelist working from home. I felt God just speak to me in that moment and say, like Elijah, it's time to come out of the cave. You just shake off the depression and start to come out of the cave. I remember throwing the weights down, opening up a roller door and yelling out at the top of my lungs, I'm coming out of the cave, you know. To which a neighbor stared at me, still in her pajamas at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Quickly pulled a mask over her nose just so she wouldn't catch anything from me. And God speaks to me and says, it's time to go back to your first love. Now, I said this before, and I'll say it again, digging the wells, redigging the wells. It was a lifestyle of prayer, fasting, and all these things. So every day I'd go out into the backyard and pray and fast. And, you know, it was an extreme time. And so extreme times call for extreme measures. And I remember doing this. I called my mother because she worked at the storehouse. And I said to her, do you have any potato sacks? Now, I don't know what it's like when you call your mother, but I turn into a 15-year-old boy again. And I'm like, hey, Mom, do you have any potato sacks? And she's like, yeah, we got heaps. Like, you know, what do you need it for? I was like, I don't know. She's like, no, we got heaps of them. Just let me know what it's for. I was like, I don't know what it's for. I just need it. So just tell me, I've got so many and you can have them. I said, no, look, Mom, I said, I just need it to pray in. She's like, what? Anyway, long story short, I'm no tailor. I'm no seamstress. I've never worked in a factory. I end up getting these sackcloths, potato sacks, ripping a hole for a neck and fashioning some sleeves, and I put it on, and I lit a fire, sat in the backyard, covered myself in ash, and every day I cried out to God, God, send a revival. God, open up the church. Now, you got to understand, we hadn't been to church for years. For years, 2 years, we hadn't been. Hadn't gathered as a family, as a group, hadn't had any contact. So, you know, I know this is way extreme, but I'm out there and I'm crying out to God. God, we send a revival, take communion every single day. Lord, open up your church that way we may go. Set your people free that we may go and worship, that we may go and worship. I was taking communion. I was pouring out drink offerings. I was saying all these things. I'm crying out to God. All I wanted to see was a blood-washed Australia. a blood-washed, come on, globe, nations. Come on, this Victoria, Melbourne, you name it, New South Wales, Sydney. God, would you touch the globe, touch the nations. Use us to see a revival sweep across this globe. My son walks down from upstairs and he sees me outside, you know, all ashy. And he looks at me and he goes, "Mom, why is Dad wearing a kangaroo?" I was like, "Man, son, you're going to learn today. See, I'm a fourth generation preacher." I said, "Come here." I said, it's not a kangaroo. It is not a kangaroo, son. I said, "You know what it is?" I said, "This is a sackcloth." And I said, "I'm wearing this." I think he was six at the time. And he's like, "Hey," I said, "I'm wearing this right now. So guess what? So one day you don't have to." He's like shaking in his little slippers. I said, "I'm wearing this so that one day when you face the giant, guess what? Your dad's already had a go at it. It's already fatally wounded. It's already bleeding. It's already lost a few limbs. Because guess what? You saw your dad fighting it, facing, come on, the giant, the bear in the backyard, the mountain. There's already been an avalanche. There's already been a disturbance. And when you step into your future, guess what? You know how to battle. You know how to fight. Come on, our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." I said to him, "Guess what? This is what you need to do. This is how you need to fight." And I believe, come on, tonight, there's so many of us that need to draw a line in the sand and say, "No further. Devil, no further. You've come too far. I'm going to speak to the mountain. I'm going to declare in Jesus' name. Come on, whatever's flown through my family, whatever's come down generationally, it ends with me. It stops tonight." Come on, if you want to see a revival, if you want to see an awakening, there's some things that can't come on the journey. There's stuff in our lives that needs to end tonight. It needs to leave. Come on, if you're ready, it's time to speak to those mountains. It's time, come on, to sacrifice, to be set apart, to say, "I will go, send me, use me." Amen. Amen. It says here, and some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying?" You know what? There's always going to be critics in life. Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. He's been dead 4 days." You know, in the King James it says, "Lord, he stinketh." When was the last time you checked your stinketh? When was the last time you checked your odour? You know, I love this because it's not just talking about, it's not, well, I'm not talking about BO, but some of you think that. But it's talking about here, 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Did you know your fragrance matters? Your odour matters. Your stinketh matters to this community. Come on, to this region, to people out in this neighborhood. Come on, it matters what you smell like today. Amen. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Come on, is there anybody today that wants to see the glory of God in this generation? Come on, the power of God to touch, to move, to heal, to restore. Come on. Martha answers, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe." She gives an answer I think we would all give. She says this, Martha says to him, "I know that we will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But is this the answer Jesus is looking for? I believe it's theologically, it's sound. Theologically, it's correct. 99.9% of the church would probably give the same answer today. But is this what he was looking for? No, because like Martha, we too have faith. We have faith just like her in the future. One day I'll pass away. I'll be seated in heavenly places. I'll live for eternity with Jesus Christ. Yes, we have faith in the future. We also have faith in the past. We have faith in a moment that when we received Jesus Christ, He died for our sins. We believe in that. He rose on the third day. We have faith for the past, faith for the future, but no faith for the present. And we live in a pendulum between the two realities. God, will you show up? Will you heal? Will you restore? Or we're just hanging on by a thread until He comes home, till we hear the sound of that trumpet and He comes on a white cloud and He takes us up and we're caught up in the air. Does anyone still believe in the rapture? Am I at the right place? And we're hanging on saying, Jesus, would you just come? I know you can heal, but you don't do it here. I know you can heal. I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen it on Reels. I've seen it on YouTube. But here in Mackay, my street, I don't know. I've seen you do it for Sharon, for Karen, and for Darren. But can you do it for me? Can you do it for my family? Lord, would you just hurry up and come and end this? Come and sound that trumpet, please. It's got to be soon. And we just hang on and hope. Oh, come on. People still believe in the rapture, right? Does anybody have a rapture plan, by the way? You know, if you've got fire plans, you've got to have a rapture plan. You know what mine is? Grab two non-believers under each arm and at about 37,000 feet, I'm going to say, repent or I'm letting go. You got to be prepared. I want to tell you something. Come on, it's great that you have faith for the past and for the future. But come on, I serve a God. I mentioned it at the beginning, Hebrews 13, verse 8, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's good news for every single person in this place. Why? Because what He did in this word, what He did in the Gospels, guess what? He can do it today. And guess what? Not just for today, tomorrow as well. Tuesday, Thursday. Come on, there's enough favor. There's enough blessings. There's enough miracles to last you through the week, through the years. Come on, until we go home to be with Him, I'm telling you, we serve a God of the abundance. Amen? We serve an abundant God. Do you believe that? And if the band could come and join me. It says here, then they took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and He said, Father, I thank You that You've heard me. And I know that You always do. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent me. Now when He said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know if anyone can put themselves in that moment. Just think about it like a scene that's happening and you're there. You're an onlooker, a bystander. You imagine what everybody must have been thinking. Jesus, You knew about this and You didn't come. There's people that are upset, people that are disappointed. If You'd only come, then we wouldn't be in this circumstance, in this situation. People depressed, people fearful. And then I can imagine that would be a lot of people that were absolutely shocked, because who does He think He is? He's shouting at a dead man. He's lost His mind. It's not that He's dead. He's been dead for a long time, 4 days, but He's starting to smell. And you could smell it before, but wait until they crack the rock. I mean, it's unbearable now, right? And yet He has the audacity to shout. He has the audacity to scream into a dead man's tomb, Lazarus, like He's there. Lazarus, come out. But I've got to tell you something. You too have that same authority. Jesus isn't mad. Jesus isn't crazy. Guess what? You too have that same ability. Because the same power that rose Christ from the grave lives in me, lives in you, lives in each one of us if you're a believer tonight. That same power, come on, it's in your mouth. It's in your tongue. And it's just waiting. God is waiting for us to wield it, to start to speak again and declare. Come on, I just think this is incredible. Mark 11, 22, so Jesus says, answers and says to them, have faith in God. You know what? I believe we could stop right there. We could preach a whole sermon series on having faith in God again. So we have faith in everything else but God. We got faith in the news. No one does. We have faith in the Weather Channel. We got it on our phones, the apps, the alerts. It's the only job you can consistently get wrong and still have a job tomorrow. We got more faith. We got more faith in the lottery than we do the tithes and offerings. Remember they had that 200 million or whatever it was? Everyone's breaking their necks to get a ticket for that. I know, I was one of them. No. Everybody wanted in. But when that bucket comes around, oh boy, you're hanging on to that $5 note. Even the Queen's got tears in her eyes. Can't bear to let that thing go. But when the lottery comes, 200 million, where do I sign up? How do I give? How do I pay? I just want to do it. I'm not sure how, but I want to give it. I could win it. I could be the one. We've got more faith. We got more faith in Chemist Warehouse than Jehovah Rapha. But I mean, their prices are unbeatable. You can't be, they do have the warehouse bulk buying power. They've actually got Zyrtec on special. $37.95 for a 70 pack. I mean, you can't get that. If you tried to buy that at Woolies or Coles, that'd cost you a fortune. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have. Can I say that again? You will have whatever you say. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. Do you realize that? Your words are powerful. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. This is fascinating to me that Jesus highlights two variables of declaration, what we say and what we pray. Isn't it interesting that oftentimes what we say and what we pray don't match up at all? We come to the prayer meeting, oh, Father God, bless this place. Oh, the Whit Sundays. Oh, I want to see a revival. I want to see miracles. And we walk out and go, McCoy, just want to move to the Gold Coast and the Big Buck. You know, we get all, and this weather and on my back and my neck and bulging discs and you name it. I got a migraine, I got a headache, I haven't slept a good night in years. We know. You never stop saying it. Oh, and the allergies and the play up, you know, you wouldn't think the humidity, but I tell you what, need some Zyrtec. We start complaining about everyday life. I'm no good, I can't, I shouldn't, I can't afford that. I've got no money, I've never have enough. Yeah, I know you never have enough because you always say it. I'm always sick. Yeah, I know you're always sick because you always keep declaring it. You know what? Some of us have given the devil a day off. By all the death and disease and destruction that we declare over our lives, he doesn't need to turn up at your house. He doesn't have to. You've already spoken it into existence. You know, your words are powerful. Your words create, they make, they break the world around you. You're simply walking in and living in everything that you've declared. It's time to change your confession. Come on, it's time to speak to that mountain It's time to tell that mountain where to go. It's time to tell that mountain how to move. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You will have whatever you say. Come on, that's positive as well. Come on, I know there's a generation of believers here tonight. Come on, I've had enough. And I'm going to speak, come on, to those things, those sicknesses, those diseases, death, things that have plagued you and your family. It's going to come off tonight. Do you believe that? Come on, it's going to come off tonight. Verse 44, he said, he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I love this. Before what happens, Jesus says with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus speaks to the very man, speaks to his very soul, commanding his spirit back into his body. And then he comes walking out, covered in grave clothes. And then he says to the people, not him, the people, now you take off the filthy garments. See, a lot of us walk around life, we've been healed, but we're still hurt. We still carry the pain of the past. We still walk around with the filthy garments. We still walk around with the stench of the past when Jesus has given a clear instruction here. Come on, it's up to you now. I've healed you. I've sanctified you. I've called you by name. I've restored you. I've healed you. But you have to take off the filthy rags. You have to take off the garments. Oh, come on, we're about to do this tonight. And whatever it is, come on, I know my God can remove it, but you got to open up your mouth. Why don't you stand to your feet all across this place? And you know whatever mountain it is. Come on, if people aren't getting saved and you want to see them saved, if you want to see a revival, if you want to see a breakthrough, maybe you've been dealing with a disease, a condition, a sickness, an illness, an ailment, whatever it is, God can do it. It's time to speak to that mountain. I'm going to open up the altar right now. I'm going to invite you, whoever you are, why don't you come forward right now? Come forward. God's here to heal you, to restore you, to set you free.